Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. And not only do regular Americans enjoy Christmas, but a lot of our presidents through the years have enjoyed Christmas and have said some beautiful things about this holiday when we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bill Federer is going to join us to talk about Christmas and the presidents. Bill Federer is a best-selling author. He's highly sought after as a public speaker. He's even been quoted by the United States Supreme Court in one of the cases that they got right. They don't always get them right. Greece v. Galloway, 2014. Bill Federer is the author of America's God and Country, as well as a number of other books. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, great to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. So I want to talk really about Christmas and the presidents. And I'll tell you what, why don't we begin with the first president under the U.S. Constitution, that, of course, being President George Washington. And when he was a young man, he wrote out in his own words, in his own handwriting, words that he may have gotten from somebody else. It was called On Christmas Day, and it begins this way. Assist me, Muse Divine, to sing the morn on which the Savior of mankind was born. It's interesting to think about George Washington, a very significant man in world history, celebrating and being very interested in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Washington, of course, was not the only president that celebrated the birth of Christ and Christmas. In fact, virtually all of them have. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they did. And one of the things that I put together is a list of these. So I wrote a book on the history of Santa Claus and the history of Christmas traditions. And you see that, Harry S. Truman made several Christmas addresses. And one of the ones, just sort of walking through it, the Christmas tree was put in the White House the first time by there was one in Windsor Castle that was put in by Prince Albert in 1848. And then you had President Franklin Pierce in 1856 put a Christmas tree in the White House. You had 1862, President Lincoln visits hospitals on Christmas Day. And then in 1864, Lincoln gave a Christmas reception at the White House. And then, Jimmy Carter talks about Christmas and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in his poem.
Which poem, if I could? Are you talking about I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day? Is that the poem?
Yes.
Okay. They're making a movie about that, by the way. That particular poem and Longfellow and so forth. But go on.
Yeah, Longfellow was one of those great poets. Woodrow Wilson, 1918, wrote to General Pershing about the troops stationed in France. And he says, while it is hard, far away from home, confidentially, to bid you a Merry Christmas, I can, and I think it promises you a Happy New Year, and I can, from the bottom of my heart, say God bless you. So it's a Christmas greeting from Woodrow Wilson. And then Woodrow Wilson gives an American Red Cross Christmas message. 1 year ago, 22 million Americans, by enrolling as members of the Red Cross at Christmas time, sent to the men who were fighting our battles overseas a stimulating message of cheer and goodwill. Now, by God's grace, the Red Cross Christmas message, 1918, is one of peace and goodwill. And then subsequent presidents, you had Warren G. Harding, 1921. She stated that the Four Powers Treaty is more then gratified over their efforts because they're working out greatest contribution of peace and goodwill, which has ever marked the Christmas time in all the Christian era. And then you have Calvin Coolidge. Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind to cherish peace, goodwill to the plenteous, and mercy is to have the real spirit of Christmas. Herbert Hoover, 1931. He says, I have received requests from federal employees that they should be given two periods of holidays, Christmas and New Year's Day. While I see little objection to the day following Christmas in order that federal employees may have the opportunity to join their families, I do not feel that we should extend the holiday at New Year's. And so there was only the one holiday. And matter of fact, Franklin Roosevelt, 1942, says this, it is significant that Christmas Day, our plants and factories will be stilled. This is not true of other holidays. On all other holidays, work goes on gladly for the winning of the war. So Christmas becomes the only holiday in all the year. I like to think that this is so because Christmas is a holy day. May all that it stands for live and grow throughout. So here you have Franklin Roosevelt, 1942, saying the only holiday is Christmas Day. And then you have Harry S. Truman.
Wait. Before you leave FDR, he said that I can say to you that at last we may look forward into the future with real substantial confidence that however great the cost, peace on earth, goodwill toward man can be and will be realized and ensured. And it's interesting that in 1942 he sent out to all the various branches of the armed services the Christian Bible, the New Testament, and then to Jewish soldiers they had a kind of a condensed version of the Old Testament. But he said this in the you find this in the foreword of the New Testament. I bring this out because I have a copy that my dad received when he was serving in the military, and that's I cherish that copy of the New Testament. Here's what FDR said in that New Testament. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. And, you know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay, go on with the Christmas and the presidents.
1946, Harry S. Truman said, our hopes of future years turn to a little town in the hills of Judea where on a winter's night 2,000 years ago, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled.
Wow.
Shepherds keeping their watch by night over their flocks heard glad tidings, great joy from the angels of the Lord singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, I was looking at statistics. In 1965, 93% of Americans identify themselves as Christian, 69% Protestant, 24% Catholic. That's 93% of the country identified itself as Christian in 1965. There was 3% Jewish. Now, obviously, it's gone down since then. But here you have, during these wars, they're making these statements because America's clearly a Judeo-Christian country. Christmas Eve, 1949, Harry S. Truman. I've been reading again in our family Bible some of the passages which foretold this night. It was that grand old seer, Isaiah, who prophesied in the Old Testament the sublime event which found fulfillment almost 2,000 years ago. Just as Isaiah foresaw the coming of Christ, so another battler for the Lord, St. Paul, summed up the law and the prophets in a glorification of love, which he exalts even above both faith and hope. So that's Harry S. Truman. My favorite quotes is John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, and he gave an address in 1837. He says, is not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission on earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity? And gave the world the first irrevocable pledge from the fulfillment of the prophecies announced directly from heaven at the birth of the Savior and predicted by the greatest of the Hebrew prophets 600 years before. So here's John Quincy Adams saying, hey, the Declaration of Independence is basically taking Christ's work and belief and making it the cornerstone of human government, right? And one of my other favorite quotes is from Grover Cleveland.
Wow.
The 22nd and 24th president. He says, the sovereignty or the kingship, the sovereignty of 60 millions of free people is the working out of the divine right of man to govern himself, a manifestation of God's plan concerning the human race. So this idea is that we, the people, have a free will to submit our lives to Christ. It's not forced. It's nationalism. It's not white supremacy. It's not a theocracy. It's not, you know, we're going to shove this. No, our founders fled from that. They didn't like the king burning people at the stake for not believing the way they did. They fled here for freedom of conscience. So we want to preserve a country where each person has the freedom of conscience to believe what they want. Their understanding was your worship of God is only pleasing to God if it's voluntarily given. Hmm. And another quote from Truman. He says, down the ages from the first Christmas through all the years of 19 centuries, mankind is in the weary pilgrimage through a changing world, has been strengthened by the message of Christmas. The angels sang for joy that first Christmas far away Bethlehem. Their song echoed through the corridors of time and will continue to sustain the heart of man throughout eternity. A humble man and woman came to Galilee out of the city to Bethlehem. St. Luke's brief chronicle that Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling, laid him in a manger because there's no room for him in the inn. And so basically, you hear Harry S. Truman, he's just given the Orthodox Christian understanding. And Truman lit the national Christmas tree. As we light the national Christmas tree tonight, 1952, here on the White House lawn, as all of us light our own Christmas trees in our own home, remember long ago that night when a child was born in a stable, star hovered over, drawing wise men afar, shepherds in the field heard the angels singing. That was the first Christmas, and it was God's great gift to us. Year after year, it brings peace, tranquility to a troubled hearts in a troubled world.
Wow.
And I could go on and on, but just powerful statements by these different presidents.
And here's a statement from Eisenhower, unless you want to go ahead and comment on it, but he said, this year, even as 2,000 years ago when the Prince of Peace was born into the world, the drums of war are still, he's writing that in 1954, mankind's unquenchable hope for peace burns brighter than for many years. As I light the nation's Christmas tree, God rest you, let nothing you dismay. And there's also some great quotes from later presidents as well. Okay, Eisenhower, that brings us to the 1950s. Any quotes you want to harp on? And certainly Reagan has some beautiful statements, but maybe there's somebody else beyond Reagan too. Because I definitely want to get to Reagan though.
Yeah. So, Eisenhower, through all the ages, men have felt the uplift of the spirit of Christmas. We commemorate the birth of the Christ child by giving expression to our gratitude of the great things that is coming has brought about to the world. John F. Kennedy, 1962, Christmas is the most sacred and hopeful day in our civilization. John F. Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson, I'm not a real fan of him, but 1963,
<I'm not either.
laughs> at a press conference, they said, Mr. President, can you tell us about your Christmas plans? It says, if God is willing and Mrs. Johnson is willing, I plan to fly home earlier in the night of the 22nd after I light the Christmas tree. I hope to spend Christmas Eve with the family. I don't want to keep my secrets from you people. I might even go hunting. Nixon, this was a pretty memorable one. So the astronauts from Apollo 8 flew around the moon in 1968. And they gave a radio broadcast Christmas greeting to Earth. And they read the first chapter of Genesis. And there's even a postage stamp, you know, that quoted them.
Yeah. It's a
classic. In the beginning, God.
Absolutely. Yep.
And
that
then,
is fantastic.
And then Nixon says this. He says, as the Apollo astronauts flew over the moon's gray surface on Christmas Eve, they spoke to us of the beauty of Earth. And in that voice, so clear across the lunar distance, we heard them invoke God's blessing on its goodness.
Wow, that's beautiful. And let me close, since we're almost out of time. Reagan said this, Jesus is much more than just a great philosopher and teacher. He is divine, living assurance that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that by believing in him and learning to love each other, we could one day be together in paradise. Well, God bless you, Bill Federer, and God bless us one and all. And AmericanMinute.com is your website, and I'll give you 20 seconds as a closer.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Carter, he says, Christmas has a special meaning to those of us who are Christian, those of us who believe in Christ, those of us who know that almost 2,000 years ago, the Son of Peace was born. So we're just in line with all these different presidents by continuing to thank God for sending his son Jesus at Christmas to die on the cross to pay for our sins so we can spend eternity with God in heaven.
Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com. Thanks so much, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.